Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
Scripture says that we have an enemy. He is real. And the scripture says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and might have it abundantly. When the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and to rob you of the things that God has given you and take away your peace, the Bible says that we're to put on the shoes of peace. How do I put on the shoes of peace and the walk in this way?
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at verses 41 through 44 in just a few minutes. As we've talked about spiritual warfare over the last several weeks, about the enemy and what the enemy comes to do in our lives, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture is found in John 10:10. Now, as you're turning there, you're going to look up at the screen at John 10:10, and we're going to see that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and they might have it abundantly. And what we've been looking at is who the enemy is, what he does, and what Christ comes to do, and the weapon that we have to come against the enemy. And so we've looked at the deceiver, and we have seen that we put on the loins of truth to come against the deception of the enemy. We saw last week that he was the accuser of the brethren, and that we're to put on the breastplate of righteousness because our righteousness is found in Christ Jesus. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Let me ask you, have you ever had a thief break into your house? When I was 11 years old, we came home from a vacation. And when we walked into the house, we knew immediately that someone had been through the house because the house was ransacked. And here's a very defiling thing, to walk into your house and to find this place ransacked. Matter of fact, it disrupted our lives for a couple of weeks. Because it is. It's an awful scene. Someone has come into your house. They've gone through your things. They've stolen from you and had a total disregard for your life. And they came into your house and it rocked our world. And I remember a number of weeks that we felt vulnerable still. We had a hard time sleeping at night because will this thief come back? The thief came and took some of our stuff. But I want to tell you, the thief came and took our peace. Scripture says that we have an enemy. He is real. That this enemy is not flesh and blood, but it is actually the devil, the evil one, his demons. We are in a war. And the scripture says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I come that you might have life and might have it abundantly. What I want to suggest to you is that this life is all about the peace of God in your heart, in your life. We've been talking about spiritual warfare. We've been talking about the enemy and who the enemy is. We saw a couple of weeks that the enemy is the deceiver. And the way that you come against the deceiver is you gird your loins with truth. You walk in God's truth to come against deception. We saw last week that he's the accuser of our brethren, that he comes and he lays down guilt in your life for the things that you've messed up, the things that you have failed in. And the scripture says that we're put on the breastplate of righteousness because he is our righteousness. When the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and to rob you of the things that God has given you and take away your peace, the Bible says that we're to put on the shoes of peace. The shoes of peace. And I think about this whole thought of the peace of God. And what does that mean? What is God's peace? Well, first of all, when you look at both Old Testament and New Testament terms of peace, you have this word that means a quiet rest. It also means to be set at one again. If there's division and fracture, peace means that you're one again. One with God, one with your neighbor, one with your spouse, one with your children. There's a oneness and there's a unity, a very important quality of the kingdom of God. It's the calm condition of the soul. And this calm condition is guaranteed by the salvation that God gives you through Christ. So that I fear nothing from God, I fear nothing from man, I fear nothing from the enemy. I have this tranquil part of my life that says, He is Lord, He is in control. It's having the mind of Christ. The Bible says that when you have your mind set on the Spirit, you have life and peace. And finally, my friends, this peace, it is Jesus Himself. It is the nature and character who Jesus is and who Jesus Christ is in our lives. The Scripture says in Ephesians 2:14, He is our peace. He's broken down every wall. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, speaks of Christ as the child who will be given to us. And the Scripture says that the government will rest upon His shoulders and that His name will be called Wonderful and Counselor and Mighty God and Eternal Father. And Prince of Peace. Let me ask you, what prince do you submit your life to? He's the Prince of Peace. I submit my life to Him, the Prince of Peace, and I can't have nothing but peace. Just think about the things that you've been focused on lately. The things that you've been consumed with lately. If it's not on Christ, I want to tell you, it's on something else. And if it's on something else, I can bet that you've struggled with anxiety, turmoil, stress, worry, fear, and maybe even a little bit of anger as you've submitted to something else. If you submit to your children as the most important thing in your life, I want to tell you the enemy will target them and the peace will flee. If it's your finances, your career, or what you're going to do next in this life, I want to tell you, that's what you're submitting to. And we're to submit to the Prince of Peace. When you submit to the Prince of Peace, you have peace. You have that tranquility, calmness of soul that says, I'm going to believe my God because He is greater than this circumstance. The Scripture says in Luke chapter 19, verse 41, Jesus is coming into Jerusalem. It's His triumphal entry. And as He comes in, the Scripture says in verse 37, as soon as He was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they'd seen, shouting, Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Him, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And when He approached Jerusalem, He saw the city, and watch, He wept over it. He wept over it. Wept over this city. Now, you know, it's interesting. Here is the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Crowds and throngs praising Him and shouting. It is as if the team scored a touchdown. It is as if there was a home run, a grand slam. And He comes, and these folks are praising Him, and they are shouting glory to God in the highest. And He gets to the city. What does He do? He weeps over it. Why? Because just in a few hours, those who praise Him will in a moment say, Crucify Him. This is what He says as He weeps over the city. If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now those things which make for peace have been hidden from your eyes. Because the days now will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you on every side, and they will level you to the ground and your children within you. That's just another way of saying they're going to ransack you. They're going to come in and rob from you and kill you and destroy you. The hedge is down now because you've rejected the Messiah. You've rejected Jesus Christ. You've rejected Him as your peace, as your Savior, as your God and your King. And when you reject Him, peace leaves. And we get glimpses of that, even as Christians, don't we? When we're walking along and we reject the Word in a given moment and give in to the temptation or to walk in a certain way that we're not supposed to walk in, and all of a sudden we get in our head beat in. And I always say this, these things ought not be for you and me. We must always take account, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, the things that make for peace. Just because I received Christ at 8 or 10 or 15 doesn't mean that I'm going to be free from turmoil and struggle and persecution and temptation. It doesn't mean that I'm immune to the things of the enemy. No, he comes in like a flood. Wants to rob, steal, and destroy. Lord Jesus Christ makes a way for you and me. Yes, at the cross 2,000 years ago, when He stretched out His hands and He was nailed and He made reconciliation with you and God, making us one again. Jesus is saying, listen, that's the way that makes for peace. But you, the religious system of the day, the people that I've come to, you have said no. And in saying no, this peace of God is elusive still yet. Because you can't find this peace in your sacrifices. You can't find this peace in your giftedness. You cannot find this peace by trying to observe the entire law or being moral. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is our peace. Go to Ephesians chapter 6 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. See, the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Now, I don't know about you, but I know for me that the biggest fortress in my life that needs to come down often is this whole area of fear, worry, and anxiety. Okay? But yet, the Bible says that our weapons are mighty in God. And so He says in verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, the powers, the world forces of this darkness, the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He is saying, be dressed in readiness for this battle. When we come to this weapon, when we come to the shoe of peace, how can a shoe be a weapon? Well, I'll tell you what, you go to war and your feet rot, I'm going to tell you, you're no good to anybody. You don't take care of your feet. If you're in some kind of climate, you don't have proper shoes and proper socks, I'm going to tell you, you're in trouble. And so are the people that you're trying to defend and the people you're going to war with. You look at this shoe in the scripture and it says it's peace. And I ask the question, well, what are feet for? What are feet for in the kingdom? You know, one of the great things about feet, the scripture says, is that feet are for crushing the head of the enemy. Feet crush Satan's head. Remember the foot of Jesus in Genesis 3:15 we saw a couple of weeks ago? I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. And then in Romans 16:20, Paul says, and the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. Not just the feet of God, not just the feet of Jesus, but your feet. What he's saying is this, we've got a war to fight. It's already been won, but I'm going to get you in on it. I'm going to allow you to be a part of this warfare and this ransacking enemy so that your feet will soon crush the head of the enemy. In other words, it's like this. Your peace in your heart, in your soul, in the midst of turmoil, uncertainty, and struggle will always, always crush the head of the enemy. Will always crush the thief. It's the peace of God that crushes the head of the enemy. It's the peace of God that destroys His work. Just like light penetrates darkness and the darkness no longer can overcome it, well, I want to tell you, peace always overcomes turmoil, always overcomes uncertainty, always overcomes worry, fear, anxiety, and will always remove your anger. Why? Because the feet of God and the feet of His saints crush the head of the enemy, penetrates the darkness. But there's a second thing that feet do. Feet in the scripture bring good news of peace. Turn to Romans chapter 10, if you would. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you're going to be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will never be disappointed. Now there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches forever who will call upon Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord, he will be saved. Now how then will they call on Him whom they've not believed? And how will they believe in Him whom they've not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach, watch, unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Feet are for traveling to bring good news to the people around you, to the ends of the earth, and every place in between. I think about Jesus washing feet as very symbolic of saying, your feet are beautiful to me. When you're carrying the gospel, and I want to take care of them, and I want to wash them, because they are the peace of God, representative of the peace of God when you're bringing the good news. What are feet for? They're for walking. And what is a Christian to walk in? He's to walk in the way of peace. You and I should be characterized as peaceful men and women, at peace with God, at peace in our spirit, peace in our demeanor, because we fear nothing because of this great salvation that Christ has walked in. In Luke chapter 1, verse 6, Zacharias is speaking of John the Baptist, and he says of John, you child will be called the prophet of the Most High, and you're going to go before the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare His ways, to give to His people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, and then to guide our feet in the way of peace. Do a study on feet, and you're going to find peace. The way of peace. The things that make for peace. What are those? What does that look like? How do I put on the shoes of peace and the walk in its way? First of all, I believe that you must believe that you have the peace of God in your life so that you might live this lifestyle of peace. You know, I think that that's the greatest tool that I can walk in when I find turmoil and when I find struggle, is to believe that I've got Jesus in my life, and if I've got Jesus in my life, I've got peace. And just saying that brings a load of it. Isaiah 30:15, for thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you shall be saved, and in quietness and trust is your strength, but you're not willing. I find it through repentance. I find this peace through resting in Him, through this trust in my God, this faith. It becomes my strength. But He says, you were not willing to walk this way. You were willing to move and to find peace in other ways and other things. To find peace in your success. To find peace in your finances. To find peace in your retirement account. To find peace in your health. He says, but you want peace, repent and rest. You'll be safe. Be quiet and trust. That's your strength. The next passage of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 26:3 says, the steadfast of mind, the person whose mind is stayed on Christ, God will keep in perfect peace. Why? Because He trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. For in God, the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Believe it. Let me ask you, how many of you are going through a struggle today? Will you just believe that you've got the peace of God? You know what? This Bible says in Ephesians that when you're in Christ, you have already put on the shoes of peace. That's what the Greek says. It doesn't say put it on. It says you've already put it on. If you're in Christ, having put on the breastplate of Christ, having put on the shoes of peace, I have peace. I have peace. The second thing that I think that makes for peace is that you must love His Word. Psalm 119:165 says, those who love your word or your law, they have great peace. And watch this, nothing causes them to stumble. Wow. So I got asked just two basic questions. Do I really believe? And do I really love? Do I love God's Word? Because our Bible says if you love His Word, you're going to have great peace. Watch, nothing causes you to stumble. Nothing. No bad news, no news of uncertainty. You're going to remain steadfast of mind, and the peace of God is going to guard you. Now, if you love the Word of God and you're in the Word of God, you're going to see passage after passage how you can find peace. how to put on the shoes of peace. You can go through all the Psalms and you'll find how to walk in peace, how to find peace. I mean, take one of the most familiar Psalms, Psalm 23. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Makes me lie down in green pastures. Still waters, restores my soul. Even when I walk through the valley of shadow of death, you're with me. He spreads a feast before me in the presence of my enemies. I can take that psalm, pray it, live it, believe it, that God's my shepherd. I can just say, the Lord is my shepherd, and close it up and have peace. Because I know He's in my heart and believe that. Now there's one passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9, that I want us to look at as an example of a word that you can take to come against the enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now listen, over the next several weeks, we're going to look at these arrows of the enemy that comes to rob you of peace, and we're going to look at other passages of Scriptures and how to apply them. How to apply it when you're walking in depression. How to apply it when you're walking in fear. How to apply it when you're walking in worry and stress. But look at a lot of Scriptures that'll say, this is how you do it. This is how you put on the shoes of peace. This is how you find the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit or your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. And the things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. In the middle of this passage, he's saying, be anxious for nothing. Do not walk in anxiety, is what he says. Do not worry, do not fear, do not fret. But he gives you a strategy on how to do that. And the very first point, the very first thing that you do to combat anxiety or to attack anxiety instead of anxiety attacking you, is that you're to rejoice in the Lord always. You remain in a posture of praise. You remain in a posture of looking up and not down. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Now not just sometimes, not just most of the time, but always rejoice. It ought to be the first thing that comes forth from your mouth. Okay? We are to rejoice always. Now this is what rejoicing does. First of all, it takes your eyes off the circumstances. Okay? That's what rejoicing will do. When I rejoice and I'm praising God, I'm looking up and I'm getting my eyes off the situation. The second thing it does, it places your eyes on sovereign God. He is Lord, He is King. The third thing it does, it produces gratefulness. When I'm looking at Jesus, I'm looking at all the great things that He's done in my life, not all the poor things that are happening, but what God is doing. And it also removes all my grumbling and complaining, because if I've got Jesus in my sights, what is there to grumble about? Now, it also hinders comparison, which is a very dangerous thing in the Christian life, where I compare what God's doing in this person's life and that person's life, and I say, well, I ain't doing it in my life. We compare. Well, if I got my eyes on Jesus, I'm not comparing. Now, it also promotes contentment. It makes insignificant the temporal and makes significant God's eternal purpose. It determines that you'll not be robbed of God's truest blessings. It speaks to your heart that says this is a part of His plan. That's what rejoicing does. It will speak into your heart that says, it's going to be okay. This is part of God's plan. So the first thing when I'm facing anxiety and I need peace, I rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say we rejoice. The second thing we do is, the Scripture says here, is to let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Now listen, the word gentle is just a spirit that means, in the literal sense, means forbearing. It means that you're going to bear through this. And you know, he says, let it be known to all men. So what you're saying is, I'm struggling with this, but I want you to know I'm testifying that I'm going to move through this. I need your help in prayer. I need your support. But I want you to know that I'm going to persevere in this by the power of God. I'm going to persevere in rejoicing and finding this peace. When I do these two things alone, I am concentrating on the spiritual and not on the physical. I am concentrating on the eternal and not the temporal. But when I get my eyes on the temporal, your peace is gone. Third thing, He says, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Listen, just know that God's present. Just know that. It's simple. God, you're here. I received that today. Fourth, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication is just simply the specific thing that you're going to ask God to do. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Just pray it specifically. Ask God to come and meet the need. You have not because you ask not, the Scripture says. So with prayer and the specific request, and then with thanksgiving, here I am rejoicing again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your work in my life. Thank you for your peace. And you know, the Scripture says, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Your heart from sinning, your mind from taking in other thoughts that don't need to be there. You know, in that moment, what I've done is, I've said, okay, God, here's this circumstance. It's yours. Is it in my hand? It's no longer in my hand. You know what God says? Here's peace. I got peace now. What I've just done is I've exchanged my fear, my worry, my anxiety for the peace of God. You know what I say? Good trade. Put on the shoes of peace by believing that you have peace and by loving His Word and applying that Word as we just did in Philippians chapter 4. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Can we do that? I want to ask you, where's your peace today? Is your peace in the hand of God ready to say, here's my peace, give me your anxious thoughts. Here's my peace, turn these circumstances over to me. Here's my peace, I have a good trade for you. And somehow you have held on tightly to these things that the enemy has targeted and that you've held on to. And you've allowed the turmoil and the enemy to come in and ransack your life or ransack this season of your life. And it's time to put on the shoes of peace, to crush the head of the enemy, to bring good news to other people and to walk this way. And I want to ask you this. Will you make a commitment to do that today? Will you make a commitment to it? And I just think that today, if you'll make a commitment to it, to believe and to love His Word, then to apply that Word, I want to tell you, you'll walk away from here with the peace of God all over you. In a few minutes, we're gonna after this invitation, we're gonna sing a joyful song. We're gonna rejoice in the Lord. And what I'm gonna ask you to do right now is that I'm gonna ask you to take whatever the circumstance is and whatever the struggle is that you're worrying about or that's robbed you of peace, and I want you to do what you saw me do. I want you to just write it out on a pad and say, okay, God, here it is. And now will you receive His peace right now? God, I'm giving you this situation. I'm giving you this marriage. I'm giving you these finances. I'm giving you this uncertainty. I'm giving you this job. I'm giving you this lack of a job. And I'm laying at your feet. I'm giving you my employee. I'm giving you my employer. I'm giving you these things, Father. And I'm receiving your peace in the name of Jesus. You say that's simple. You bet it is. It is. Because of our God is a powerful, wonderful God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for an exchange today. I pray that we would exchange our turmoil, our anxiety, our stress, our worries, our uncertainties for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Father, we believe that we have Jesus who is our peace. And I pray, Father, that we would put on the shoes of peace today.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929 or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man does.